as Texas Tech Monday night will be playing for the national championship.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Air Raid Podcast presented by Viva the Matadors. You are on with your boy, Albie Shore. And today we're going to be talking some NFL draft with my right-hand man, Dylan Smythe.
How's it going in quarantine land, everybody?
It's going all right. You masked up?
I just don't leave the house. Problem solved. All of my groceries are delivered to me. Not delivered, but, you know, curbside. So I just don't interact with people.
Dang, what a millennial. Well, actually, no. Actually, you not interacting with people makes you more of a Lasky kid. Yeah, Gen X. Gen X. You are Gen X soul. That. Yeah, you are
Gen X. That's what I was going to say. It's like, thank you. I'm not a millennial.
Yeah, you're Gen X soul. Somebody who's not a Gen X soul is our other guy that's on the podcast, Jeremy Gillen. Jeremy, now you are a millennial.
I am a millennial. Yeah. As you know, I love avocado toast. I spend way too much time on social media. Of course, I'm not in college, but for spring break, I did just go to Florida and hang out in a large group of people because that's my right. And yeah,
part of the problem.
What else?
He has before put his hair in a man bun.
I have put my hair in a man bun.
To be fair, I'm doing that now too.
Oh, dang. Golly, you lost your Lasky kid. That loses it. You can't be on their generation anymore. They've kicked you out.
I can't just get right a haircut here. and it won't get out of my face. So that's a pretty solid solution for me.
I'm with you.
I too am struggling. I got a haircut the last day before the stay at home order, here. And now that was 4 weeks ago. And so I've decided I've never really been able to grow facial hair outside of like my little goatee. And so I've tried to join beard gang. It's not going very successful. I look terrible. I look homeless. I look bad, but I haven't left the house. So nobody can see me except for my wife, who's disgusted. So,
oh, this is the best time to exactly. Do it. I mean, if you got a crazy thing you want to try, try it out.
Exactly. And the uglier I look, the less likely we'll have another kid. So there's that.
But there you go.
It's a numbers game at this point.
Exactly.
It's a numbers game.
Exactly. Now, I don't have a son currently, but if I did, I would hope that he would get drafted like some of the Texas Tech Red Raiders got drafted over the weekend. Did y'all like that segue? Did y'all like that? That was nice. So first up was Jordan Brooks, who was a first-round draft pick, 27, to the Seattle Seahawks. Dylan, what did that mean for the Red Raider program as a whole?
It just means we're stacking it up. You look at back-to-back drafts. It's something we're going to talk about. Is we've been in back-to-back drafts on day one, so it's a great recruiting tool for the university. But it's also just well deserved by Jordan Brooks. Like, what an outstanding season he put together last year, and I was surprised. I hadn't seen a lot of first round hype for Jordan Brooks, but I thought it was deserved, and I'm happy he went in the first round.
Yeah, what did you think about him going in the first round, Jeremy? I mean, most mocks had him in the second or third round. He seemed to be solidly a day two player, but then Seattle's, they had their guy.
Man, absolutely. When I heard his name, I thought, wow, there's no way. Because when I remember, yeah, there's tons of people saying second round. The prospect grade, I think he got after there, was a 6.29. And for anybody who doesn't know what that means, that's kind of like good backup who could become a starter. And the metric, like, 8 is the highest, right? But the metrics are so, there's so many, like, from 6.1 to 6.2, good backup who could become a starter. Then you go to 6.3 to 6.4, and it's going to be a starter within the first two seasons. So that's like wild, in my mind, that's wildly different. Like, that's wildly different athleticism. And Dylan's right. Jordan Brooks, for all intents and purposes, had all of the accolades. I mean, every year he was in college, he received an All-Big 12 honor. And that's hard to do. And he improved every single year. So it just, I thought he was a round one player. And I'm glad that Seattle took the chance on him. Now, Seattle fans, not as happy.
Yeah, Seattle fans, it's a mixed review from them. I think they have two good linebackers in place. And Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright. And the funny thing is, one of the comps I keep seeing for Jordan Brooks was Bobby Wagner, Utah State product. So a little parallels there. But what are you going to say, Albie?
No, I was going to say, I wouldn't even say it's a mixed review. Seahawks fans are not happy about the pick. Like, let's be real. And I think it's more so, it was a reach. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that. But I will say this about Jordan Brooks. Actually, I take that back. I won't say there was a reach. It feels like a reach. But Jordan Brooks in the past week, from what I gathered, had just been rising up different teams' draft boards. And I don't know it's kind of hard to do so when you can't really get in contact with anybody. So I don't know if it's from interviews or what. But he had just been rising, and the Seahawks weren't the only team that were looking at him. Now, I don't think if the Seahawks didn't draft him in the first round, I don't think he would have been drafted in the first round at all. But it would have been early second round. There was a lot.
I had heard the Bengals loved him, so like the first pick of the second round, I bet he would have been gone.
Yeah, actually, and I'd heard the same thing. So that's I think that's why the Seahawks felt the need that if this is our guy, we got to go after him and get him. But I do agree with you, Dylan, is that, I mean, the linebacker wasn't really their problem. They had to reach for it, but I ain't mad at it. And I do think Jordan Brooks is going to be a really good linebacker in the NFL. I do will say this. Does it surprise you, though, that last year we had two great linebackers in the 2018 season, but Dakota Allen, who was a guy that I thought would be a kind of a fourth, maybe fifth round pick, slid all the way to seventh, to where Jordan Brooks, who was a guy that looked like a third round pick, was picked up in the first round. Did that surprise you a little?
Not really. I think all season when the season started, we all thought Dakota Allen was the best linebacker to come out of Texas Tech for a few years. And then a few months passed and it was clear that Jordan Brooks was a better player. I still think Dakota Allen going seventh was crazy, but he didn't stick in the league. So
he's in Jacksonville right now.
At practice squad, right?
No, he actually he bounced around a little bit. So he got cut from the Rams, was on the practice squad, got cut again. Then he went to another team. I have to look it up.
Either way.
Got cut from there, and then he ended up with the Jaguars.
Either way, the point is he's bounced around, and Jordan Brooks, after his senior season last year, it's just clear that he was the best linebacker to come out of Tech in a very long time.
Jordan Brooks is one of the best linebackers in the nation coming out of this 2019. I mean, the guy had over 100 tackles, 20 of those for a loss. I'm with you with Dylan. When we came into the season, it was like, man, Dakota Allen, how do you live up to that? And then we had this guy, Jordan Brooks, who we kind of knew who he was, but he was in the shadow of Allen just because of Allen's story, more or less. And now we have Jordan Brooks becoming the first round defensive player from Tech since, when did Emory say, Gabe Rivera? I mean, that's a long time.
Yeah. Better college linebacker, Jordan Brooks or Zach Thomas?
Didn't Jordan Brooks lead the team in tackles his freshman year?
He did.
Yeah, it's
pretty impressive.
85.
You could maybe make the argument, but I'm not going to.
Yeah,
none of y'all gonna take the heat. Golly,
look, man. Look, the point is that we're all now sitting at this pinnacle of like, wow, Texas Tech, and we'll get into the second person that was drafted, but Texas Tech got some defensive players getting drafted in the NFL draft. You got to feel for Rico Jeffers a little bit, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, Texas, we are the premier defensive school in the state of Texas, as everybody knows it. And so with that, the next person that did get drafted was Broderick Washington, fifth round, 170th pick overall to the Baltimore Ravens. Jeremy, what do you think about this pick? I know that's your guy. Big Brod has been your guy for a while.
Man. Yes, sir. I love Broderick Washington. He adds a lot to our defensive line. I actually for a hot minute thought that he was going to go undrafted. So I'm just thankful that he ended up getting drafted. I'll put it that way. In fifth round, that's not that bad. You know, that's a good place for him. I think the Baltimore Ravens, I don't know much about their defense, but he's not going to take anything away from it.
What about you, Dylan?
I was kind of surprised. Well, everything you had read was you thought the second player off the board was going to be Terrence Steele. And something Albie and I talked about in our private chat was like, man, I kind of like Broderick Washington better. And I guess the league agreed because Washington goes in the fifth to Baltimore. I don't expect it. You're not going to see him early and often. You know, fifth round is usually for developmental picks. They're deep. They're a good defense. He landed in a great place. I'm excited for him and a little surprised at the same time.
So I'll say this. We talked about how Seahawks fans weren't really happy about the Jordan Brooks pick. If you go to the PFF, which is the premier analytical NFL website. PFF Ravens asked everybody, what is your favorite Ravens pick and least favorite Ravens pick? You want to know who the popular pick for least favorite was? Broderick Washington. I'm scrolling down the mentions right now, and he comes up a lot. So this is another situation where a lot of people are skeptical on Washington. Again, Broderick was a little bit of a reach. I mean, most mocks I saw him was going to the 6th, 7th, or undrafted. Very few said 5th. I thought Broderick Washington was the type of player that should be picked in the 5th round. I thought he was already last year. I mean, Brooks and Washington were the two best players on our defense last year. And another guy that we'll get to a little later. Were the three best players on our defense last year. And I think Broderick Washington's been one of the better players on our defense the last 2 years. I think he's been that important. Let me know what y'all think about this. Because you have the Seahawks who don't really like Jordan Brooks and the Ravens fans who don't really seem to like Broderick Washington, I think a lot of it has to do with the skepticism on two things. And it's less about them as players and more about Texas Tech's reputation on defense, well, deserved reputation on defense, and the Big 12's deserved reputation on defense. And the fact that because of those two things, we don't know anything about this guy, Broderick Washington. We don't know anything about this guy, Jordan Brooks, but they play for Texas Tech in the Big 12, so they must be bad.
I think people just get mad with names they don't know. You know, for whatever reason, they don't even bother to look into it. It's like, I've never heard of this dude. He must be terrible. But I think the Ravens got someone who's capable of, who has potential and is capable of like developing into a serviceable player. And that's what you look for in the 5th round. So.
Yeah. I mean, ESPN had Broderick Washington's highlights going on. And I almost wet myself once again. Like it was just absolutely fantastic. He's so quick for a defensive tackle. It's pretty amazing. And they run and the type of defense that they run, that 4-3 set, it just plays into Broderick Washington's strength very much so. So Jeremy, you talked a little bit about Terrence Steele. He ended up signing a undrafted free agent deal with the Dallas Cowboys, which seems to be very popular for Tech undrafted free agents to go ahead and sign with the Cowboys. Where do you think he fits in?
Oh man, scout team. I don't know. I Terrence Steele. A lot of people have talked about him. I cannot get over the fact that he was beat multiple times this season. He just has proved a number of times, and of course, I didn't take the time to look it up. But that he's just, there's a lot to his game. He still has to develop. And it's up to the Cowboys. I mean, obviously, they're willing to take that chance. They signed him, but it's up to the Cowboys to really push him to develop because he's got the size. He's got the IQ of it. He just didn't really put it both. He didn't put them both into fruition, especially last season, and got beat a lot around the corner. And I just think that's not going to cut it. And when you're getting to the league where everybody's going to beat you around the corner because everybody's really good. So he's got a big, I think he might have the largest hill to climb out of all the people that came out of Texas Tech.
I mean, I don't think you said anything wrong there. What do you think, Dylan?
Steele was the most interesting watch before the draft. I follow a lot of mock drafts before the process, and evaluators were all over the place on him. I saw everything from a 3rd round to a 7th round selection. So I expected him to get drafted, so I'm surprised he didn't get drafted. But I think a lot of the hype around Terrence Steele, when people mocked him to the 3rd round, they must have been watching 2018 tape, because 2019, there wasn't one standout on our offensive line, really, to me.
Oh, God.
Yeah, the offensive line play was atrocious. So it's not surprising, but he does have, like Jeremy said, he does have the tools. There were a lot of evaluations that liked his potential, and I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, you know, why not? Take a flyer on the Texas Tech boy, let's go.
Yeah, I agree with y'all that Dylan, I was surprised he didn't get drafted, because every mock did say that he would get drafted, right? Like, I think very few mocks had him as an undrafted free agent, so I did think he was going to get drafted. And again, I think something happened in the last week or two that made people kind of go off, and maybe it was because they realized, I mean, we talked about it last year, how our O-line really didn't perform very well, and he might have been the worst player on that O-line. Like, Terrence Steele, I think a lot of things that scouts like about him is his size, right? He has great size, especially for like a tackle. 6'6", 3'10", he's a pretty strong guy, but I think for an offensive lineman, especially in the NFL, one of the most important things you have to have is footwork and quickness, and that is two things that he does not have, right? He got beat by athletic ends so often. You know, I mean, it just to the point where it was I at times I thought about, man, well, let's see what some of the younger guys can do, because Terrence Steele just doesn't have it. And so I don't know if maybe 2019 tape was popped in and I was seen. Even 2018, there were a lot of times if you had an athletic end, he was going to get by Terrence Steele. And so, but his size, and I think that's where the potential comes in, is that his size is so great, his strength is so great, that you say, okay, well, maybe if we just get the right offensive line coach to work with him, we can get something out.
What? I was just going to say, the Cowboys do a very good job of developing offensive linemen. And who knows, since power is his biggest biggest positive and we need interior, maybe they slide him inside.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. That could definitely happen. And we do usually have fairly athletic linemen. Now, he's really played tackle specifically, but we have pretty athletic linemen. So we, you know, so we can see if maybe that's in their idea. As an old lineman, I think Cowboys are one of the best teams you can go to. I mean, Cowboys and the Titans are probably the two. Now, if I'm an old lineman, I got to pick where I want to go. Those are probably the two places I'm trying to go. And so him picking that, I think, is again. And then he gets to stay home, right? He's from Cibolo, gets to stay home, gets his family to come and watch him sit on the bench. So that that can be beneficial. Question, Dylan, does he make the team?
Short answer, no.
Jeremy, does he make the team?
No.
No faith. Well, let's talk about another guy on the offensive line. another guy, actually, I don't think he makes the team either. But another guy on the offensive line that did also sign an undrafted free agent spot, and a guy that didn't get a lot of love. I think it was known that he wasn't going to get drafted. But it's Travis Brufe. Travis Brufe has been a captain on the team for the last 2 years. Outside of Jack Anderson, he's probably been the best O-lineman we've had for the last 2 years. And finally got some love. He got scooped up pretty quickly by the Green Bay Packers. Dylan, what did you think about this pickup?
I like it for Brufe. I don't know if he necessarily makes the team, but, you know, he's an experienced offensive lineman, and he had flashes at Texas Tech that showed he was a good lineman. So if he gets a chance to protect the best, one of the best quarterbacks in football, that'd be pretty sweet. I don't know why, but looking at Travis Brufe, he looks like a cheesehead. I can see it.
He's a big and white,
Wisconsin
just
boy.
Kind of pudgy. Yep.
Big white Wisconsin boy from Texas.
From Texas, yeah.
What do you think, Jeremy?
I'm with Dylan. I like this for Brufe. It's hard to see him ending up with Green Bay in the long run, but I think this was an excellent pickup for him to get into the league. He was probably our most intelligent football player, and we have a lot of smart guys. Have some not so smart guys, but I think he was the most intelligent guy on our team, and he is just a good athlete. I mean, he works his butt off. He proved that off. Every season he got a little bit bigger. He seemed to get a little bit better at his game. And if he can just continue to grind away at that stone, I think maybe after a couple of, kind of the way Dakota Allen ended up, you know, after a couple of trades or whatever, he might end up on a team that could really utilize his size and experience. But I just don't think that's going to end up being with Green Bay. But I do like it that he's going to get a chance to, like Dylan said, you know, protect Aaron Rodgers, at least in the preseason.
I actually think he has a much better chance of making the team than Terrence Steele does. The Green Bay isn't, you know, they've had their O-line issues, and it wasn't really addressed in the draft. They only drafted one tackle out of Indiana, and the tackle's not that great. So, like, I think that even if they were to keep that tackle, they still have room on their roster for more linemen. I think that Brufe has a shot in Green Bay. I do agree with y'all on the fact that how intelligent he is. I actually think that he's also a little bit more athletic than Terrence Steele is, or at least quicker than Terrence Steele was. And when it came to our two tackles, I had a lot more confidence in Brufe than I did in Steele. But again, Brufe was another guy that took a step back in his senior year in 2019 than he did in 2018. 2018, I thought at times he looked like one of the best O-linemen in the entire conference. 2019, ugh. So that's, I think, some of the things is that he's got to shore up some things, but he's definitely a smart guy, definitely a coachable guy. So I know, Jeremy, you said you didn't think he'd make it. Dylan, what do you think?
I also said I don't think he makes it.
I am going to go out on a limb and say my boy from Mo City, Texas, makes the Green Bay Packers. I think he's going to make it.
That's what I'm talking
about. I think he's going to make it. I'm probably wrong, though.
Jeremy, or Albie's drinking the cheese.
I'm drinking the cheese. Especially, I'll say this with Brufe, though, as well, is that forget continuity with Aaron Rodgers. Forget that. Don't even call Aaron Rodgers. Who cares? Call Jordan Love. All right. Build continuity with Jordan Love, who is also, and Matt Wells probably already hooked him up. Probably was like, hey, I got my boy Jordan Love from Utah. Y'all get active right now. Because the way I look at it, Jordan Love is the future. They care much more if you have continuity with Love than you do with Rodgers. Rodgers is only going to be there for the next 2-3 years. Jordan Love going to be there for the next 15.
Right? Hey, before you skip on to the next player, let's talk about the big weekend for David Yost. He got two quarterbacks in the first round of the draft. That's pretty exciting.
I don't care. No, I'm just kidding.
It's good for recruiting.
Good point. That is good for recruiting. No, I'm just kidding. That is very good for recruiting that he does have. He got Justin Herbert from Oregon, who he used to coach. Got drafted to the Chargers, which I'm sure he's happy about. He gets to go to L.A. I mean, yeah, he's playing in front of nobody, but he gets to go to L.A. And then you got Jordan Love, who is now who's going to be the successor to Aaron Rodgers, both coached by Jordan, by David Yost. So recruiting-wise, can't hurt, right? Yeah, good for him.
No, I can't hurt, yeah.
Yeah, good for him. Anything else I want to say about that?
Dylan seemed adamant about it. I didn't want to bring it up.
Well, all right. Douglas Coleman, let's go.
Yeah. Dylan Smythe, huge David Yost guy. Huge. Next up, it's already kind of been talked about. Douglas Coleman got picked up by the Broncos. Jeremy, what do you think about that pickup?
I'm upset that Coleman ended up going undrafted. Douglas Coleman is quietly one of the best defensive backs, or at least in this draft, was one of the best defensive backs available. I just keep saying it, every year a little bit better. But Douglas Coleman had the biggest breakout from 2018 to 2019. He tripled his tackles.
Say it
to
again.
63 is. He tripled the amount of tackles he got at 63. 63 tackles for a defensive back is one hell of an active defensive back. He had 8 interceptions. I can't remember off the top of my head. What was that, third best in the nation at the end of it?
Second best? All time in Texas Tech history.
Yeah, second all time Texas Tech history. 79 yards on those returns. Good grief. I mean, Douglas Coleman is one of the best ball hawks coming into the NFL draft in 2019, and nobody decided to take that chance, and they waited for him to go undrafted. I think Douglas Coleman, out of all the undrafted free agents that we had signed, Douglas Coleman is going to be the quickest guy to end up on a starting on the roster.
No, I say starting lineup. You were going to say it. Say it.
I was going to say it.
Denver Broncos are thin.
Starting lineup.
They're
yeah.
thin when it comes to secondary.
Yeah, I give him to the end of the regular season for them to be like, oh yeah, Douglas Coleman has got to be our guy.
Gotta be the guy. Dylan, pump up Douglas Coleman some more.
Yeah, I'm with Jeremy. I think it's atrocious he didn't get drafted. Him and Broderick Washington, you know, you look at the talent level and the production, and it's just right there. If Washington's worth a fifth, Coleman's at least worth a fifth. I think he sticks quick. And Denver, maybe I'll even go see him play. He's right down the road from me. So, like I had mentioned to Jeremy, they're thin at safety. Kareem Jackson and Justin Simmons are their starters, and there's not much behind them. So, I think Coleman's got a really good shot to make this team. And yeah,
sorry, Kareem Jackson. Jeremy already told you that he's coming for your spot, so you might as well hang it up now.
We also got to look at the versatility of Coleman. He played both corner and safety. Like that should add to his value, no?
Absolutely. Absolutely. First guy to pick off Jalen Hurts in the 2019 season. Absolutely. This guy has all kinds of accreditation to be in a starting role. I am shocked, appalled, astonished that out of all the people across all the teams in America, none of them were like, this guy has got to. We gotta get this guy quick. They're like, oh, let's wait till the undrafted. Good grief.
I mean, y'all said it. I mean, Douglas Coleman was just a ball hawk. Was just, you know, covering guys. Anybody who had the ball was getting knocked on their butts by Douglas Coleman. Anytime the ball was in the air, he was swatted out or picking it off. Douglas Coleman, maybe the greatest defensive play we've ever seen in our lives. Right. Oh, gotta disagree with the both of you. Douglas Coleman was good. He was very surprising last year. Like, he had an incredible start to the season where he led the nation in picks. I kind of trailed off as the season went on, but still had just an incredible year considering what we thought of him the year before. But when it comes to the NFL draft, you kind of get brought back down to reality somewhat. A lot of the times what you see is that teams don't trust quote-unquote ball hawks. And the reason they don't trust quote-unquote ball hawks in college is because when it comes to ball hawking, a lot of it is luck. And does that luck translate? And a lot of the Douglas Coleman, he is, if you put him at corner, he's slow. He runs a 4.640. You put him at safety, he's undersized, only 200 pounds. So he's the size of a corner, yet the speed of a safety. He was officially a safety in the NFL draft, and I think he's being listed as a free safety in general. But that puts him as an undersized part. Now, I will say that I agree with this, that his ability to tackle was impressive. But a lot of those tackles were because we gave up big yardage, right? Which is, as a free safety, not great. So Douglas Coleman going undrafted didn't surprise me. I thought that he I do think that he has a slight chance to possibly make a team, but I actually don't see it. I think he got to get his weight up. He's got to get his weight up if he's going to be on it. I think the Douglas Coleman that is really him is more like the 2018 version than the 2019 version, right? And so that's, I think, where the disconnect is that if Douglas Coleman is the 2019 version, cool. But when you're that late, you want consistency more than everything, and that's one thing Douglas Coleman, even in 2019, towards the end of the year, didn't provide. So there it is. I'm sorry, guys. I'm not on the. And here, I'll put it like this. I'll give you this. The Broncos didn't draft a safety. They only drafted a corner. So Douglas, I mean, and you're right. They are thin at safety. They're rebuilding, and they're having a rebuilding of themselves. So Douglas Coleman is going to have the opportunity to make the team, or at least make the practice squad. I just don't think he does. that's it. But hopefully he proved me wrong. Hopefully he proved me wrong, but. Out of the five guys, I think he's actually the least likely to make a team.
We'll be able to come back to this.
CC
in a year, so.
Freezing cold takes.
I mean, hey, hey, y'all give it to me. Y'all over here pumping him up. Douglas Coleman. Oh,
I'm on a sick Twitter.
Y'all over here like etch his name.
Albie's biggest, if your biggest issue is him gaining weight, then you have laid your argument
etch
on a
his name
crappy foundation
in the Hall of Fame already. Right? All right. Make his bust. I hope Douglas Coleman hears this. I hope he uses this audio as his motivation to be the greatest Denver Bronco ever. There, where they're like, John Elway, who? No, Douglas Coleman. Okay.
Douglas Coleman. The guy with the Albie sucks posted on the inside of his locker. It'll be on his 30 for 30. Albie sucks.
And then Douglas Coleman heard the Air Raid podcast. He obviously listens to us, obviously. And so he heard the Air Raid podcast and heard one, Albie Shore. And all he had to say to him was, F that guy. but yeah, that's just my... So, I mean, but you know what? Douglas Coleman may go off and be a Hall of Famer. He may put Texas Tech on the map as one of the greatest players to ever come out of the school. But, you know, he's going to have a long list of players with him because lately, Texas Tech, we get players drafted. I mean, we are the only school in the country in the NBA, MLB, last NBA, last MLB, last NFL, last WNBA to have at least one player drafted in the top 30 in all four drafts. What does that say about our program, Dylan?
We're not a football school. We're not a basketball school. Well, we're certainly not a football school. We're not a baseball school. We are an athletics dynasty powerhouse.
Yeah, I'll say. I mean, we wrapped it up.
I didn't remember seeing like the Capital One voting, but we figured to be at the top every year, right?
Well, last year for the Capital One Cup, we finished in the top 10, which we have never come close to finishing in the top 10 before. Track national championship definitely helped that. The girls had a much better season. Men's basketball won a national championship game. College baseball going to the College World Series. We actually might have even been top five. I have to check it. I remember at one point we were third. We were third. Texas Tech. It was like Stanford. Clemson. And right there, school in Lubbock, Texas was like third in the Capital One Cup at one point. So.
They finished third.
Oh, they finished third. See, look at that.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
I mean, that's absolutely incredible as a program. But you know, when you have guys that are just in 1 year span getting Josh Young drafted, getting Brittany Brewer, Jarrett Culver, and now Jordan Brooks all drafted top 30, first round or top 30 is absolutely incredible to be able to carry. And the thing about it is that, I mean, it's really not stopping. I mean, Jamias Ramsey just declared for the NBA draft. He's likely to be a first round pick. For the girls team, Brittany Brewer is not going to be the last Texas Tech Red Raider. After Coach Stallings has great things planned over there. Football, we may have to wait a while. But football, we may have to wait a while. But baseball, I mean, we got a bunch of guys that are popping up over there as well.
And a lot of that credit's got to go to Kirby Hilcutt.
Oh, 100%.
Like, what a great guy at, like, finding people to take over programs.
Oh, yeah. Finding winners.
Winners. Yeah, I mean, he gave me an opportunity in college. I worked for athletics, and, you know, we all saw how that turned out.
So, guys, Josh Young, Brittany Brewer, Jordan Brooks, Jamias Ramsey, Dylan Smythe, all the same.
Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes. All the same. Patrick Mahomes. All the same. All winners, right?
All the pedigree.
Yeah, and that's another thing is I'm just talking about the last year. I mean, even if you go to recent memory, Patrick Mahomes, Zaire Smith, right? Like, we've got guys in the recent 3-4 years that have just really, really put Texas Tech on the map. You know, Coach Beard is the greatest coach in the world right now, as far as when it comes to basketball. Coach Tadlock's the greatest baseball coach in the world right now, it seems. You know, just this program has absolutely taken off athletically. We don't talk about football outside of Jordan Brooks, but the program, athletics program as a whole has absolutely taken off, and it's nothing but good things. Jeremy, you got anything you want to say to the people?
Keep your hands washed. Watch Netflix. I don't know.
Is Netflix paying you to say that?
I'm at the end of the rope.
Netflix, you just giving out free advertisement?
Dang. Everybody, hold out. Hold out. Sports are coming back. Sports are coming back. I'm going to keep telling myself that. Sports are coming back.
Dylan, you got anything you want to say to the people?
Stay safe out there. The draft is over, and it was a fun little distraction for me this week. But let's follow Matt Wells on the recruiting trail. He's doing a great job, so it's reasons to be optimistic going into football season.
Matt Wells' recruiting class is shooting up the ranking. I think last I checked, we're like 23rd, which is, I mean, look, we're Texas Tech. So if we can get in the top 25, it's always a success. It's actually a really good success. We get in the top 25. So that's always, so right now, if he stays on that trend, we actually may have a pretty good team going forward. You got a couple good offensive linemen. We see some good tight ends coming in. So there's that. And y'all know me. I don't give Matt Wells a lot of compliments. So it must be something good going on. At least something positive on the football side of things. And as the other two guys just reiterated, please stay safe. Please don't pack in 1,000 people in a Chicago house. Please don't go to the beach this weekend. The more we isolate and social distance, the sooner we can get back to sports. And I'm going to do also my own free advertisement. Watch The Last Dance on the Chicago Bulls because it's absolutely incredible.
I was just about to say the same thing. Stay inside and watch The Last Dance, man.
Oh, my God. It's so incredible. I got to wait a week for two more. Oh, my God. It's
punk-ass Detroit Pistons.
Oh, man. I know. I can't wait till they talk crap about the Utah Jazz. I'm ready for that one. F Utah. But anyways, kids. For Dylan, for Jeremy, this is Albie. With the Air Raid podcast presented by Viva the Matadors. As always, stay inside and stay wrecked, people.